of the year, Connor Orr, joining us here on the Go Long Podcast. He is one of my best pals, went to Syracuse together, but more importantly, one of the absolute best writers, thinkers in pro football. Honestly, Connor, I know we always like to blow smoke up asses here with our guests, but no, I genuinely mean it. You write something, I've got to read it. Unlike the story I have not read, which is your amazing quarterback feature today. This is a potentially historic draft class, so cannot wait to sink the teeth into what you have at Sports Illustrated, and we're going to get into it. But first off, how you doing, man? I know you've got one little one working the Legos, so you're multitasking here. We could not be more thrilled to have you as you do it all.
Oh yeah, we got a sixth birthday this morning. I feel like you got to do things all the way when you're going to do them, and so we're up last night decorating the house, and then you wake up this morning and you make the chocolate chip pancakes. Bus comes at 7:30, so you gotta be up to make them the pancakes. And then, you know, my son, he got halfway through Lego Batman the movie yesterday, and so he asked me to pick him up early so he could finish Lego Batman. So we're making it all happen, dude. You know, we're making every dream come true. So
what we should have done is gotten Joey Molinaro on this podcast. We had him on last week, and he could like narrate all of that in a Mel Kiper voice as you're juggling everything here.
I gotta follow Joey. That's terrible. He's the funniest dude on the planet. This is gonna be tough.
Just a good dude too. We went to a show in Buffalo, me and my brother, and we talked to him for like 30-40 minutes afterwards. So he's actually touring, so if anybody's listening, check his schedule out and make sure you get to his show. Connor, though, okay, the draft's here. Should we like bang out about 12 more mocks though before we actually get to this thing? What do you think?
I was joking around. I like my thoughts on the mock draft are so well known at this point that when I go to call, you know, coaches or, you know, executives and stuff like that and get some information, I always lead with, this is a critical part of the Orr 1.0, and I think everyone knows now to laugh at that. Like, I don't take it very seriously. That said, there's a part of our business, and there's a part of my brain. Like, my mock draft was wild. I did one. I do like it. I like the process of it. I know it was wild, and there's still a part of me back there, like, fantasizing, like, what if I get 8 right? Like, you know, And there's no reason to think about that because you're not going to. It's like trying to pick a perfect NCAA tournament bracket. It's just not going to happen. But what if it happens, Tyler? I don't know.
It's true. You know, you know what I like doing is on Twitter, just teasing like mock draft 72.0 and then putting a link in. And then, you know, you put the picture on so it doesn't give it away. But then just send somebody that clicks to like a Jim Croce song. Or if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never made a pretty woman. You know, it's just something ridiculous every time. That's what you got to do.
There was one year where I tried to see if I get anybody to pick up on it when I was working for NFL Network, and I just made up a prospect. I just started tweeting about. I named him Don Stillman, and I was like this big. I was like this big fullback out of Rice. He's going to cause a lot of problems. Versatile tight end, you know. And I just tried to see if it would get any traction because you know that there's people out there who don't know anything. And I'm not saying I know a lot, but there's people out there who don't know anything. They're like, oh, yeah, definitely like round 6. Definitely want that guy for us, you know. But it's just the whole thing's just a joke, you know.
Oh, my God. Okay, last thought that we'll actually talk about the draft. But when I was little, I would always ask my dad sports questions just nonstop. Like, what's the most points Alonzo Mourning scored in a game? The most rebounds Larry Johnson had? You know, it's 94, 95, so you only have, like, the annual basketball magazine that comes out. And my dad now, he goes, I just throw answers at you all the time. Like, just mess with me.
32.5.
He made up a player once. I remember being on vacation in, like, Myrtle Beach, like, 6 years old, 7 years old, and he said he made up a player named Eric Skapansky for the Los Angeles Clippers, and he had me on the ultimate rat race that whole week, looking through my basketball magazines. Who is Eric Skapansky? Where is
he? Gotta get a Skapansky rookie card.
I can't wait to get to that place as a dad with Sonny. Oh, yeah. Just, you know, make up a guy, have some fun with it. But okay, Jane Daniels, It surprised me reading Bob's series how many scouts really view him as generational in his own right, that he might be better than Caleb Williams. So you did a ton of reporting on Jane Daniels. What was your main takeaway? What makes him special?
And first off, I always feel good when I agree with Bob, because let's just start there. I mean, for anybody who subscribes to this podcast or Tyler's, amazing site, Bob is right. Like, it's not like, oh, okay, like some draft people know more than, no, Bob is correct. Right. And so it's always good to be on that side. And it makes me feel good to hear the same things that Bob is hearing. I talked to a few guys, one in particular that really interested me was, we led off the conversation with, why aren't more people talking about, why isn't there more outrage about the fact that the Bears never really gave him a shot as the number one player in the draft? He's like, I think he's better. I think he's more mature. I think he's been through more. And again, you hate to say things like mental toughness, because we don't know these guys, but, and this is kind of where my reporting began with Jaden Daniels. This kid has, I believe, played in 5 different offenses. I think 3 different coordinators, 2 different schools. And if you talk to GMs now, they really value that journey, because they're like, this is what the NFL is going to be like. You're going to walk into a different locker room full of guys that you've never met. Like Jaden Daniels was saying, you ever go to you want to see 2 different groups of people, go to an Arizona State locker room and then go to LSU. These people are raised differently. They think differently. They act differently. And I got to be me, but also, bring them onto my side. And so I think that there's a lot to like about him. Never mind the fact that I don't think the ceiling's tapped on his, I think he said, he was telling me just 2 or 3 years ago, he did the whole 3D motion capture thing, and he was too front facing on his throwing motion. He fixed that. And he said, when I throw a deep ball now, I feel like Steph Curry when he shoots a 3-pointer. Like, I just know it's going in. I know it's landing in the bread basket. My body feels amazing when I'm doing it. And he's just, this is 2 years into this. I mean, I really do think he's going to be a special kid.
Fascinating. There's no substitute for experience, and he's and being the face of a program once and then twice, stepping into both locker rooms as the guy. I want to ask you though, what was the reporting process like? How much time did you get with him? How close to his world did you get?
Jaden's amazing because, I've done, this is the 3rd year in a row that I've done a draft preview cover for SI, and I've been very, very lucky to be able to do that. And, there are, and stories before that, obviously, but there are always networks of people and handlers and agents and parents and all this stuff, all these people that you have to go through. I got to interview Jaden at the photo shoot. We got to spend some time together out in LA. This kid shows up 25 minutes early, on time, or 25 minutes early, in his own car, drives himself. And what was funny about the photo shoot was we rented a studio. This is like a little inside baseball, but we rented a studio that was in a strip of mechanics in LA, right? So you pull into this parking lot and there's just garages full of auto mechanics. And so, and you're looking around like, where the hell am I? What's going on? And doesn't faze him at all. Like, he pulls in his car, just shows up at the door, knocks on the door, like, and it's like a shed in LA, and just knocks on the door, and he's like, hey, what's up? Just comes in, shakes everybody's hand. Stuff that I think about now as a 35-year-old guy, like eye contact, remembering your name, looking at you. I didn't see this kid pick up his phone one time from the second he got in the door until the second he left, like just totally in the moment. And all that stuff, like you learn to take note of that and you become really impressed, because not everybody's like that. You know what I mean? And especially, as a quarterback, you need to be like that. And I do think he's built the right way.
God, thanks for sharing that. Those little things really do matter. I mean, because it is all over the spectrum. There's players of that stature where you're going into that situation. Sometimes you've been told maybe multiple times over, like 23 minutes or 18 minutes, or there's like a cap on it. And you know, you're only going to get that amount of time. and it truncates everything. You're rushing through questions. Maybe they are checking their phone. Maybe they are checked out. Hell, there was James Pierre, like a backup cornerback for the Steelers. I remember a few years back, we agreed to do a feature, and I drove the 3.5-4 hours to Pittsburgh to see him. And it wasn't until I got there that he said, "Oh yeah, I'm sick. I can't do it." Okay. Got my car, drove back.
Turned around and go.
Never heard from him again. So maybe he's still sick. Maybe he's been sick for 3 years. Somebody should check on James. But you're right. I mean, it's easy to kind of, you know, big time us in private behind the scenes.
100%.
And how you act in that kind of setting, I think, says so much about you if you're Jane Daniels.
I agree. And people will say that, oh, it's this media self-importance. And listen, I'm the first person. I say this to every player almost to a T that I interview. I understand that I'm the last thing standing between you and what you want to do today. Yes. I get it. I know that. Okay. So I'm going to try to make this fun. I'm going to try to do the best that I can and treat you with respect. But how they're going to treat me is how they're going to treat the cafeteria worker, how they're going to treat the, you know, the training specialist at the facility, how they're going to treat their position coach, you know, who controls all that kind of stuff in their lives, how they probably treat a lot of their friends, you know? And so that's why, you know, my gold standard for humans that I've interviewed in modern NFL quarterbacks would be Joe Burrow, right? And Jaden has that same energy, you know, very relaxed, very confident within himself, excellent football memory. You know, that's another thing too, where you ask a guy, you always ask, well, is there a play that comes to mind when you're talking about this? And he just starts rattling off Ole Miss, 3rd and 7, 42-yard line, ba 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 ba. You know, all that stuff, you know, it matters to me. And I do think it matters to teams too.
Washington Commanders, number 2 overall, done deal. Obviously, yes. His agent had just chimed in on a tweet. I don't know. I think it was a little overblown. Is that a done deal? You think he'll be the quarterback for Washington?
I think so. And what a coup this is for the Commanders. I mean, think about all the places that this franchise has been, all the dark times, and now you emerge with who could very well be the best quarterback in the draft. I mean, my guess is, I mean, listen, Cliff Kingsbury had Caleb Williams at USC. He's the offensive coordinator. If he was so incredibly blown away, don't you think we would have heard something about them trying to move up at least one time, you know? If it was like, this is knockout, it's not even close, he's the number one guy, there's no point in drafting anyone else, don't you think they would have at least tried to move up?
Yeah.
And I think that they are thrilled that this guy's fallen into their lap.
Herm Edwards compared him to Randall Cunningham. Do you see some Randall Cunningham there? Is there a comp for Jane Daniels? Because he is so narrowly built, right? Like 6'4", what is he, 210? 220? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe he drank a lot of water. I think somebody made the point that that after he was weighed in, he was like Austin Powers, right? Just peeing forever. But I can't really think of anybody built like him who plays like him. And it is very straight ahead as a runner, right? And he really isn't improvising and creating outside the pocket as a passer. But for what he does, the deep ball, the running, the executing, Cliff Kingsbury, Anthony Lynn, I think it could be a great fit. But does anybody else come to mind for you as you reported on it?
No, Randall was so good that when you told me that, I'm actually working on my Jaden column now for the draft, and I said he runs like Randall Cunningham. So that was good. I stole that from everyone knows that's where I got it from. But it is. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. Now, I remember doing the Bryce Young story last year, and I think a big part of Bryce's story was that Bryce is like an armadillo, and whenever you come near him, he rolls up in a ball and he gets down. He's defensive, and he's learned that throughout his career. Jaden's always been the biggest kid in high school, and it wasn't really until LSU that he started taking some very serious hits, like big hits. And I do think that to me, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, like I'm bringing in whatever, wildlife experts. Rex Ryan brought in the Derek Jeter to teach Mark Sanchez to slide after the Jets drafted him. Like, you're going to need that. But once you have that drilled into him, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's a good offensive coordinator. Like, and they have good receivers. They have a good offensive line. Like, why can't this team win 7 or 8 games in his first year?
Another quarter. I mean, Michael Penix, he's at Indiana. He has all the injuries. He gets to Washington. I know that Michigan game is the last thing a lot of, you know, casual college football observers may remember, but I was really surprised. A scout out on the West Coast, I asked him about Penix, and going into the question, I'm picturing a quarterback who doesn't move. Like, his platform needs to be clean. And then the receiver is 5 to 10 yards open, because subconsciously we're told how great these receivers are. And this scout said, no, when you look at him closer, like, he's thrown in the tight windows. Mm-hmm. Those receivers, Roma Dunze, they're not exactly getting a ton of separation, and maybe schemed up in the right offense. You think of like a Mike McDaniel offense, he will get that platform. That quarterback in that, in terms of fit, if he gets with the right coach and the right team, Penix could have a chance to be special too. I don't know. In your report, like, what stands out with him? Do you agree with that? Or do you think that this is just a highly decorated college player who can't really move well enough in the pro game?
No, I agree. I mean, and you think about Penix in the context of all the other kids who have been available. Like, Bo Nix has been at Elite 11, you know, and in that world since he's been 5 years old, right? Even Jaden Daniels has had, like, you know, he had his, you know, biomechanics checked out when he was in high school. You know, all these guys are 5-star recruits. Penix went to Tampa Bay Technical High School. He said that his offense ran 10 plays in 4 years. 10 different plays in 4 years. He faced 2 coverages, and his trainer was his dad, who made him go in the garage and do power cleans. So you get to Indiana and you're playing in the Big Ten, and he's like, I don't know how to read a defense. I don't know how to watch film. Nobody's sitting there and telling me. I don't know how to run an offense. So what do? I intimately watch my receivers during practice. I figure out what they're good at. And then during games, I kind of put it together, like, all right, this guy seems to run well when we run drag routes. He's probably going to be open on this play. Basically just learns offense through survival. And then as he gets older, people teach him how to watch film. He gets into a real offense, you know, gets into this great program at Washington, has real wide receivers. And all of a sudden he takes off. And not to say that he didn't before. I mean, at Indiana, when he admittedly was still learning how to read defenses, he had them ranked as higher than they've ever been since the 1960s. I think this kid's a winner, you know, and big. Like, when you meet him, like, physically imposing, has that massive handshake where you can almost, like, encompass your entire wrist, and just a sweet human. You know, I really do think, like, I think that personality endears well to a locker room.
Who's going to bust out? What's your take in that department?
Who's going to draft Penix, or who do you think is going to break out from the QBs?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who do you think could be a bust out of all these quarterbacks?
I don't know. I mean, I am not as big of a McCarthy fan as everybody else. And I know that that's probably because he came on late enough where I do think that you're basing it a lot on a body of work with a really, really good head coach. And I also think that my, like, you know, this is what, draft 14 for us, right? You start to hear things at certain times, and then you become suspicious of that, or under certain circumstances. And it's like with McCarthy, how much of this stuff is Harbaugh driven, you know? Yeah. And how much, you know, Harbaugh's had good quarterbacks. Andrew Luck was good without Jim Harbaugh, but, like, Harbaugh's also, you know, Colin Kaepernick was in the Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh. You know what I mean? And so is it one of those situations where a lot of this is Harbaugh driven? A lot of this is circumstantial. You played really well on a team that, I don't know, you know, there's a lot going on with that Michigan team, you know, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him at all. I'm sure he's going to be great. I have him going 14th, I think, to the Raiders. But if I had to rank them personally, I mean, I like Jaden the best. I like Caleb too. I like, I like Drake May 3. I like Bo Nix 4, Penix 5, and McCarthy 6. That's my order. But, I mean, I had Will Levis's QB2 last year. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
No, let it play out, right? I mean, these GMs, these teams, they don't know everything. Zach Wilson was just traded for, you know, a bag of Delta soggy pretzels and peanuts, right? I mean, it was, I don't even know how to describe Zach Wilson at this point. I think we had a previous guest on at one point, and we described that, was it the, remember that awful Thursday night game? Was it the Colts and the Broncos, something like that? We've never seen Human Centipede, but it was something like that.
Oh, God. That movie was rough.
You saw it?
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that was a tough one.
What?
That was a really tough one.
Why did you watch that?
It was, I'll never forget it. It was like the last, it's like the second to last day of college. And it was just like that day before your parents come for graduation. And there's like nothing, like your apartment's empty and everything's boxed up. And you're like, you know, you've drank for like 35 nights in a row. And you're just like, you know, it's like 10 in the morning. And I remember me and my buddy Bill were just sitting there and we're like, all right, want to watch Human Centipede? Like, there's nothing else to do. And just afterwards, totally regretted it.
Oh, man, you should have called me and Easy E up. We could have gone to Chuck's, had a few beers instead.
My stomach would have been in equal states of awful, you know, but, you know, I would have been sick either way, but, you know, at least that way.
That's the Zach Wilson experience. So off to Denver he goes. But my point is, like, these teams, they, I don't know. They don't always know everything. But with J.J. McCarthy, I'm in the same place. It's like you watch Michigan pound these teams with the run, with defense, with some timely throws here and there. Like, what am I missing? Like, what am I missing here? Isn't this A.J. McCarron? Like, Chris Winkie, Ken Dorsey, pick your winning college quarterback. Like, the intangibles matter. They do matter. But when the intangibles, like, encompass, like, who you really are, I mean, and we're not talking about a physical gift, an athletic gift first in your description. That strikes me as a problem in comparison
to
these
other
guys.
I mean, if you're like everyone, you know, Albert Breer does an awesome job and I'm very lucky to work with him. And his comp was like superpower Brock Purdy. I can't get on board with that as a first round pick. I can't. Like, first round pick, you have to be, this guy can do everything that any quarterback can do and he can run. That's the baseline now. You can't, there's no other, if you're not going to be able to, and I mean, Daniel Jones can run zone reads, so it's not hard, but it's like, if that's not your baseline, then I think that you're in trouble. And I'm not saying JJ's unathletic. I'm just saying, if you compare him to the rest of the class, it's like, okay, what's his superpower, you know? And I don't know if I can answer that very quickly.
Man, before we lose you, is there a random prospect, and you can make him up if you want, that's Connor Orr's guy? Is there somebody that you really, really like?
Yes.
Could be in any position.
Okay. So I'm going to stay at quarterback. And I asked around and I wanted to know, I was like, who's Brock Purdy? Who am I going to find in round 7 that's going to blow me away, that's going to be starting games within 2 years? And my guy this year is Austin Reed, quarterback, Western Kentucky, Division II champion at, play Florida. It's like Florida Western or West Florida. But ridiculous.
That's a school?
West Florida. Ridiculous kid. Super smart, incredibly talented. Watch him play Ohio State, because Western Kentucky played Ohio State last year. It was funny. I was like, you know, I was watching the Ohio State game, and you should have gotten a PI on that first drive. I was like, I think you guys could have gone up 7-0. And he's like, oh, you talking about the post when it's and he just starts. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. And this was a play from whatever 10 months ago. He knows the down. He knows the distance, the time on the field, the throw. Really impressive kid. And he works with Will Hewlett, who was Brock Purdy's coach. He is Caleb Williams' trainer. He's kind of like the new super quarterback guru. So I think that there's a lot to like there. So I would keep an eye out for Austin Reed in the back end of the draft.
You heard
it. He's a real person too. He's a real person, I promise.
if you just completely made up that story, I would have believed you 100%.
It's like, wow, I got to get on board with that guy, huh? Yeah. Real
amazing.
Dude.
Amazing. Connor, you're the best. Thanks so much for squeezing us in between your various dad duties on your daughter's birthday, which is unbelievable. You do it all, and I cannot wait to be freed of dad duties in this end to sit down and read your quarterback story at SI.com. I'm sure it is predictably amazing. Everybody, make sure you read Connor.
Make it a bedtime story. You know, your kids will love that, you know?
You know, we've been working the highlights. Sonny especially loves the when you find things, just find the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
But we've done the same exact finder and the same exact highlights for about 2 months straight. We got to expand Sonny's horizon, so we're going to read Connor's story
read
as a family
tonight. Yeah, yes.
Do it. Thank you so much, man. Great to see you.
Thanks, buddy.